Hello and welcome to the podcast English for Life in the UK. This is episode 33 of the podcast intended for intermediate level learners of English. It's produced by a group of volunteer teachers from the St Augustine Centre in Halifax, Yorkshire, where we provide a range of support and advice to those in need, and particularly to asylum seekers, refugees and migrants. However, this podcast is for anyone who wants to improve their English and at the same time to learn more about life in this country. After this episode, we're going to take a short break of 2 or 3 weeks, and then we will be relaunching the podcast in a slightly different format. Until then, if you would like to tell us your views on the podcast to help with the next stage, we have a survey available on our website, www.saintaugustinecentrehalifax.org.uk. That's spelt S-T-A-U-G-U-S-T-I-N-E-S-C-E-N-T-R-E-H-A-L-I-F-A-X. You'll find a link to the survey on that website, and that is also where you can find the transcripts for all our episodes and links to all our episodes. The transcript for this one will be available in a few days' time. You can also contact us at our email address, which is englishforlifeintheuk@gmail.com. And we would be interested to hear a bit about yourself and also what you think of the podcast and how it could be improved. Today's episode is brought to you by Christine, Sheena and Mark, and the focus is on fashion and design. In the transcript of this episode, we will include some images and links to images to help to illustrate the things we're talking about. We hope you find it useful.
Well, this week's topic is fashion and design in the UK. And Mark, I think you're going to start by telling us what it tells us in the official study guide for the citizenship test.
Yes, thanks, Christine. There's a short section on fashion and design in the UK. And it starts with fashion. So maybe we should just explain fashion is really about the style of clothes, but it's not just clothes. It's also things like hairstyle, shoes, jewellery, makeup. Those things all become part of fashion. Fashion is usually associated with a particular period of time. So, for example, you can talk about the fashion of the 1960s or this year's fashion. In the official guide, it mentions three different famous UK fashion designers. And I think Sheena is going to tell us a bit about each one of these. The ones they mention are Mary Quant, Alexander McQueen and Vivienne Westwood. So, Sheena, what can you tell us about those three people?
I think I will start with Mary Quant, who I think is the most iconic fashion designer of the 1960s, or the swinging 60s, as people often refer to it now. Along with a French designer, she was responsible for maybe one of the most iconic pieces of clothing in the 1960s, which I think was the miniskirt, which was a very short skirt above the knee, in fact often just 10 centimeters or 4 inches below a person's bottom made to wear with the fashion boots called go-go boots. Often the people at the time often would wear false eyelashes, and like Mary Quant would have Vidal Sassoon 5-point geometric hairstyles.
And what does that mean, Sheena? Describe that hairstyle.
It would be a full fringe coming into 2 points in front of the person's ears, showing the ears, and then 2 points at the back. But I don't know where the 5th point is.
Okay.
But I'm sure listeners can look up this hairstyle. And then the other thing I would say that was very fashionable in the 60s, and I'm afraid I've been talking about female fashion here because Mary Quant was more associated with female fashion, is wearing PVC, which was it's a sort of plastic vinyl material that was often in very bold colours, very bright or very deep colours, often raincoats, shoes, handbags, things like that.
I remember.
Yes, and so do I. I, of course, did not wear a miniskirt, but I did wear flared trousers. So they are trousers where at the bottom, at your ankles, they became very, very wide.
That's right, Mark. And how wide were your flares? You could have 22-inch, I seem to remember.
I don't think mine...
24-inch?
I don't think mine were that wide.
No, that's like very wide, yeah. Isn't it?
So tell us, okay. tell us about Alexander McQueen.
Okay. So Alexander McQueen came a lot later. In between was probably Vivian Westwood. But I'll talk about Alexander McQueen, since you've asked. I would say he is one of my favourite designers, mainly because anything I have seen of his fashion shows was so dramatic, totally outrageous, and I'm sure made headlines in every newspaper the next day. He was from a very working class background, and he learnt the art of tailoring by working on Savile Row, learning the trade from people who had been making high quality suits for decades. So he learned how to drape material, cut material, and create seams. So his clothes were, as well as, so they were beautifully tailored. He's well known for his precise tailoring, but then, and also the delicate beauty of his materials. But on top of this, the themes of his shows were the things that got him a lot of attention. And to start with, he didn't even want to sell the clothes. He was just making a name for himself. So his shows, one of the most famous ones was called Highland Rape, which was very political, and it was about the British in Scotland centuries ago. And one of his other shows was about aliens, where all the hairstyles, the special effects, the makeup were what made that a really dramatic show. If anyone wants to know more about him, there's a film about his life, I think it's just called McQueen, and it's really excellent for understanding the pressures of the business. And sadly, in 2010, I think it was, when he was only 40, he took his own life. And I think that was because of the great pressure that he was under. His name lived on, however, because his assistant, Sarah Burton, designed Kate Middleton's wedding dress. So, you know, his inspiration and his influence was still around.
Thank you. So what about Vivian Westwood? You mentioned her.
Okay. Vivian Westwood was like 70s, 80s, and she was known for punk. Her and Malcolm McLaren, who was the manager of a punk group called the Sex Pistols, designed their own clothing range and sold it in their own shop in London. It was mainly, I think, using materials such as leather, tartan, and often held together with safety pins and ripped jeans and ripped clothing was popular, I think, with punk clothing at the time. But she's still designing now. She's been designing for 5 decades. She is a dame, so she has been recognised for her achievements. And now her clothing at the moment, I think, reflects her concerns about climate change. And in the past, she's also had clothing ranges that were supporting CND.
That's very true.
So very political designer. Mm.
Thanks, Sheena. Christine, I think you were going to tell us a bit about the fashion industry generally.
Well, what I was going to say is that it's a very important part of the British economy. It has been for centuries. I mean, in medieval times, the main export from this country was wool. So fashion and textiles have been central to the UK throughout time. I think, well, a few years ago, there were £26 billion in the fashion industry in this country. So that's £26,000 million. And 800,000 jobs, people directly employed in the fashion industry. So it's often considered to be, oh, that's just a bit of fun, but it is quite central to our economy. And as well as the design and the production of clothes, there's quite a lot of fashion education in this country. So people do travel to study fashion in this country. It's the UK's largest creative industry.
Mm, interesting. Sheena, I think you said there were a couple of other fashion designers that you thought our listeners might be interested in.
There's two that are maybe associated with celebrities. Stella McCartney, who was the daughter of Paul McCartney, one of the Beatles. She is a fashion designer. And I think at first she suffered from the fact that her name was well known. But now she's really successful. She must have been maybe 20 years now, I should imagine. She's been designing clothes. She's very successful. A lot of her clothes are now worn by celebrities such as Madonna and Gwyneth Paltrow. And perhaps one of the most important things about her is that she refuses to use fur or leather because, like her parents, she's always been a strict vegetarian.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the other person that I'm particularly interested in is somebody called Christopher Bailey, who again came from a very ordinary background. His mother was a window dresser for Marks and Spencer's. And his father was a carpenter, and he lived in Sorby Bridge and went to school in Sorby Bridge. And then he went to Batley Art College. And then in 2014, he worked his way up at Burberry, which is a very high-end fashion brand in the UK that has been around for a very long time. But under his chairmanship or as CEO, that he transformed the brand and it became one of the most successful, you know, it was a really successful brand and a really success story. And I just think the fact that he lived in Halifax throughout this time was very interesting to me.
Yeah. So we should say to our listeners that although those places that Sheena mentioned there are all local to us here where we're recording this. And Sheena, I think you said there was a Turkish designer as well that you knew a bit about.
I don't know a lot about this designer, and I've just heard of him myself. But apparently, he is very up and coming and very popular at the moment. He's claimed to be a British designer. He's called Erdem, E-R-D-E-M, and he was born in Canada. and has a Turkish background, but he has been promoted as a British designer. And he creates beautiful fabrics, and his clothes are said to have an old world elegance, but they're at the moment being currently worn by young women like Meghan Markle and Keira Knightley. So a very popular contemporary designer.
That's great. Thank you. So the other part of this section in the official handbook is about design more generally. So we've been talking there about fashion design, but design is really about the process of planning and making things, and particularly objects such as furniture, ceramics, that's pottery, interior design, that means the design of the inside of houses, craftsmanship in general, the making of things, is again something that the UK has been famous for over the years and still is today. And again, there are some people mentioned in the official guide. One of them is Thomas Chippendale. Now, he was designing in the 18th century, and he designed furniture, wooden furniture of very high quality, which is still sought after these days. You pay a lot of money for in an auction for a Chippendale table or piece of furniture. So that's Thomas Chippendale. A second one is Clarice Cliff. Now, she is a ceramics designer. And later in this episode, I'm going to interview Janice, who happens to be my wife, but is particularly interested in the design work of Clarice Cliff. So you'll hear a bit more about that later in this episode. And then the third one that's mentioned in the book is Sir Terence Conran. And I think, Christine, you're going to tell us a little bit about him.
Yes. I mean, the first thing I think I'll say is that it's quite sad. He died just last week.
Yeah.
And so there has been a lot of acknowledgement of his contribution to design in this country over the last, seven decades. I mean, he left school in 1950 and started working for an architect, but pretty soon he opened a furniture workshop and designed and made his own furniture. He's also known for other things, but the furniture, I think, is the primary one. In particular, in 1964, he opened a shop called Habitat. And that's certainly how I know him, because the Habitat brand, the Habitat shops, there were some in the big cities in this country, they produced very elegant, but very furniture with very clean lines. You might almost say utilitarian. They mirrored their purpose. Nothing fancy about it, but just elegance. And I mean, these days, you know, or later in the 20th century, that look became very popular with the Swedish brand IKEA opening stores all over Europe and indeed all over the world. Terence Conran was making furniture like that, even furniture that came in flat packs some 20 years before IKEA. He contributed in lots of other ways. In 1989, he founded the Design Museum in London, and that is certainly normally a big centre where anybody who's interested in design can go and look at aspects of design.
Thank you very much, Christine.
Okay, so Janice, I know that Clarice Cliff is one of your favourite designers. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, she was a fascinating woman, born at the end of the 19th century in Staffordshire, which was famous for its pottery factories. And she became a world-renowned designer of pottery. She was a very poor girl to start with. Came from a poor working class family, one of eight children. Left school at 13 and went to work in one of the pottery factories, where she learnt how to paint freehand on the clay pots. She was obviously quite talented, and she was noticed by the factory owners. And because she started work in the factories just as the First World War was starting, there were lots of vacancies in the factories because the men had gone off to fight. And she was promoted quite quickly, and quite quickly became one of the top designers.
Tell us a bit about what kind of things she designed and what style she used.
Well, she started off by painting clay figures. That was her main interest. And just decorating the pots as she was told to decorate them in the factory. But when she started to have her own ideas and started to experiment, she used very bright colours, which were quite unusual at the time. And she became very interested in the Art Deco movement.
So what do we mean by Art Deco?
It was a fashion of design that became very popular in the 1920s and 30s. And it wasn't just pottery. It was painting, furniture, fabric, all sorts of things. Often very angular and very... sometimes you get lots of black and white things, but you'd also get things with really bright colours, and that's what interested Clarice. In the mid-1920s, she started developing her own lines of pottery, and she used Art Deco shapes, quite a lot of angular, interesting-looking teapots and jugs and plates that were unusual, but became incredibly popular. Very, very bright colours, fabulous patterns, and that just carried on through the 1920s and 30s.
And I understand that today they're very highly collectible, is that right?
Absolutely. She died in 1972, just as there was a reviving interest in the whole Art Deco movement. And a lot of her designs were collected and looked at again. They'd gone out of fashion in the 1940s and 50s. And by the 1970s and 80s, bits of pottery that were really selling very cheaply when they were first made were becoming real collector's items. And now it's very, very difficult to buy a piece of Clarice Clift pottery cheaply. They're all very, very expensive.
That's great. Thank you very much. That's really interesting. Language support. This is the part of the podcast where we choose some aspect of language used in this episode and talk about it in a bit more detail. In this episode, because we were talking about fashion and design, we used a lot of words about to describe materials, the things that things are made of. So in this episode, you heard us talk about plastic, vinyl, which is a type of plastic, wood, wool, fur, leather, pottery, ceramics. Those are all materials, and there are lots of others that we didn't use in this episode. So, for example, paper or glass or cotton or nylon. So cotton, nylon, wool are all fabrics or textiles that are used to make clothes and other things. And then you've got lots of metals, brass or iron or steel or aluminium. And then you've got concrete and brick. So lots of words that describe different materials. Now those words can be used as nouns. So we can say, she makes ceramics, or this shoe is made of leather, or he likes to work in wood. So using them as nouns, or you can use them as adjectives. In most cases, the noun and the adjective are exactly the same form. So you can talk about a glass table or a pottery mug or a paper cup. But there are a few where the adjectival form of the word changes. So for example, you would not talk about a wood table, you would say a wooden table. And likewise, wool as an adjective would normally be woolen. So this is a woolen jumper. So I hope that's been helpful. I'm sure you can look up those words to make sure you understand what they are in your own native language. But it's useful to know quite a few of those materials to be able to talk about things. I hope that's been helpful. A reminder again that you can find transcripts to this episode, which will also include some illustrations and links on our website, www.saintaugustinescentrehalifax.org.uk. And we will be back with you after a break, a short break of 2 or 3 weeks, with a new episode. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and goodbye.